Any alumni inch here, by definition, should be in response to a question, I think, or a concern of the alumni, right? Wouldn't that be ideal? So that was the idea. So Sam had a concern, which on the surface seems minor. I'll put it that way. What's the concern? The concern is he has, let's say, and he gave one example, but there's really many examples of this, where you have, let's say, a pocket of time, like a little period of time that's undefined for you, meaning you're not committed to be doing something else, and you're a person who's very machshav learning, so what's the best thing to fill that spot? Yeah. Accurate? Okay. So that's a not a really sheer question, but it could be. That was my challenge, was to kind of like convert that into a whole shiur. So the way I did it is as follows. First, I want to answer your question, the real question you're asking. And from personal experience, right? When I was about your age, when I was an alumnus of yeshiva, so I was very, very into learning, right? I mean, I hope I still am. But I remember, like, I wanted to learn every possible moment I could. So, you know, I had these pockets, and I wanted to fill them, exactly as Sam is suggesting. And I remember that it was a lot of trial and error, because the real answer to your question is very individualized, but it's really limited to certain things, right? If we're talking about a 20-minute period, a 15-minute period, something like that, which I think is what you were referring to, so what can you do in 20 minutes that's productive? Because the truth is, we all know every moment of learning is a mitzvah, right? No one knows that. It's like, we're beyond that, right, you guys? Every moment of learning, you're accomplishing something. You know, al pi nefesh achayim, something great and metaphysical. Al pi pashtus, you're having a moment of kiyum mitzvah, right? But what about, let's take it to the next level. We also want to be productive in a growing sense, in terms of my avoda, etc., like that. So that's a very critical time, because you can accomplish tremendous things depending on exactly what the time is and what your knack is, or where your niche is. And I'll explain like this. At one point in my life, I had a 45-minute drive where I felt it was such wasted time, right? Driving, it's impossible to sit in the car in silence. Talked about that at great length. So what are you going to do? So I said, all right, I'm going to try different things. So I tried listening, right? Obviously, you're going to listen to a shiur. So I tried listening to a shiur on Gemara B'in. Not so great. To do Gemara B'in, as we all know, you got to really focus. And, you know, you got to give at least 10% of your attention to driving, right? So you don't want to be doing Ian while you're driving. So now, and this is going to be very individualized, because really you should give 90% of your attention to driving. I don't want to promote something stupid, okay? Drive carefully. But I can drive carefully, I feel, with 90% of my attention, at least give 10-15% to something else. So what worked for me is that's when I learned for the first time Hilchos Shabbos. A member of Jonas and Sachs had, back in the day when they had these cassette things, right? Remember that? I don't know if you've ever been exposed to it, but I put my cassette in, he had 45 cassettes on Hilchos Shabbos. And after many attempts at learning Hilchos Shabbos, that was the first time I did it. And within a year or two, I had learned Hilchos Shabbos. So it was a great accomplishment. Switching over now, I had another experience where I was going to be having, in between classes, I was in college, right? Secular college, right? And so I really wanted to make the most of my learning there. In between classes, I had this 15-minute break. Just like what you were talking about, 15-20, and I tried several things there. First, didn't work. I tried Mishnah Berurah. Not enough time for Mishnah Berurah. Really not enough time to retain it and do it. What worked for me was Mishnayos. I learned Nashim, Nezikin, and Moed, all three Sadarim, over the course of my 4 years of college in that 20-minute stop. Because it's called chip away. And that's the thing you got to do. You got to, like, chip away. You have to have two criteria to make this work. One is that you think small. In other words, don't try to do a volume during the 15-20-minute period. Pick something small, but if you're consistent and you do it over and over and over again, you'll be amazed at what you accomplish at the end. Now, there's somebody in the army right now in Eretz Yisrael. I had this long schmooze with him before he went off. And he already, and I said, do this. Because he's going to have these. He's going to be operating just like that. So he already finished, he's doing Ezekiel, right? So he just finished Bava Kama and he's into Bava Metzia. And what he does is, like, you know, every now and then he sends me a Shiloh when he's stuck. There's some tough Mishnayos there. He did the entire Masechta of Bava Kama. Right? That is really great. He's amazed because at first he was skeptical about it. He said, ah, this is like, that's not good. That's not what I want to do. I said, do it. If you do it consistently, by the time your time in the army's up, you'll be finished with half of Nezikin, maybe all of Nezikin. It'll be an incredible accomplishment. So that's the real answer to Sam's question is, I think a Davar Pashut, those moments can be extremely productive. But the two criteria, one I just said, is keep it small, but real, and do chazar. Like on Shabbos, then do chazar, and then you just were machshiv and made productive that little slot of time. And that's the real answer. But as I was thinking about this shaila and that issue and my experience of doing this, it hit me there's a tremendous musa here that I really want to spend the time on. And it goes to the first page of this little handout that I'm giving you. And anyone who was here, last week, I don't remember when it was, everything's a blur to me these days, but about a week or two ago, we had like an impromptu shiur on how a person should divide up their day, and, you know, organize their time. And I think I had shown this Avos to Rabbi Nosson. And somebody asked me, one of the guys asked me, great question, they said, how did you find that Avos to Rabbi Nosson? And I said to him, well, you know, I'm Bucky and all of Avos to Rabbi Nosson. So, no, I'm not. But he got me thinking and reminded me of where I first heard, the very first time I heard about this Avos to Rabbi Nosson, and it fits in beautifully as a musar to this shaila that we just talked about in a practical sense. So you'll see what I mean in a minute. First of all, everyone knows what Avos to Rabbi Nosson is? Does anyone know? What is it? What?
Extended version of Pirkei
Avos. Well, what does that mean, an extended version? Pirkei Avos is a... Pirkei Avos is a...
Yish.
Avos to Rabbi Nosson is... Is there a Gemara on that Mishnah?
No.
It's not a Gemara. People think it is, but it's not. It's from the Gaonim. It's from the period of the Gaonim. It's a Gaonic Perush on Pirkei Avos. So it's very chashur. It's not quite like a Gemara, but it's very chashur. I'm certainly not Baki in all of Avos to Rabbi Nosson, and I wish I was. But this particular one came up with the following story. This is a true story. I am not making it up. I always have to make that disclaimer. My wife accuses me of making up all my stories. I'm not making it up. This is true. When we first were contemplating Aliyah, how did that happen? How did I come to Eretz Yisrael? I was like pretty happy, you know, in Teaneck, great, great town. But what got me was one of my friends, who's a Rosh Hashiva here in one of the Yeshivos, calls me up and he says, you gotta come, take a year off and come to Eretz Yisrael. It's the place to be. I said, of course it's the place to be, but you know, leave me alone, I'm crazy. Right? That was my first reaction. Calls me again, working on me. Finally, he gets me enough that I go to my wife and I say, it's time, I think we should do this. And she goes, go lie down, you'll feel better later. Crazy. We just uproot our entire family. I had 7 kids, I'm working full time. You know, we're living the life of teenage suburbia. Like, what am I going to do? I'm going to, like, are you crazy? She's beginning to really think I was crazy. But I said, are you sure? Lie down. Okay, fine. So I said, forget it. Then he calls me up again. And this got me, and why we ended up coming, is he goes, listen, he says, what are your kids learning? What are your kids learning in school? And no offense to the American yeshiva education system intended here. I said, oh, well, which grade? He said, let's take your 5th grader. Let's see where. So my 5th grader was in a certain school. I won't mention which one it is. I didn't want to do anything that I'll regret. And I said, oh, well, you want to know what he learned? He learned an entire, let's say, 2 or 3 prakim of Mishnayos. So he says, oh, yeah. And he says, okay, you know my son X, who's the same age as yours. You know what he learned this year? You know, Shas. No, I don't know. He didn't go that far. But he said, you know, he mentioned all of the first paragraph of the Quran in Gemara. He says he did. He says, and he knows it. He says, he does. And then he went on and on like this, and I said, you got me. I said, you got me. I said, wow, what a difference in standards. Very, very much affected me. We ended up coming. Why am I telling you this story? Not to inspire you, although that might be a side little. But, so I come there to Yisrael with this expectation of incredible chinuch for my children, which it was. It really was unbelievable. I can't tell you the difference. I mean, you've seen it or heard it. Just talk to any of the Rebbeim's children, right? There was the time my daughter, who at the time was in Beis Yaakov, and she was in second grade, and we had four or five Shraga guys at the Shabbos table, and they were learning the Mishnayos of Baba Kama, something like that also. She was learning Parshas Mishpatim. They don't teach Torah Shabbat Peh to little Beis Yaakov girls, but they do teach Parsha Mishpatim. So she was sitting and teaching them Arba Avos Nizikin. I will never forget it. And they were like, it was these like, I think they were Shabbat guys even, sitting around, and it was quite impressive to me and to them. But what really got me was one day I was picking up my kids from school, from yeshiva. And there's this one kid, right, he's a carpool, so we had this carpool. There's this one guy in my son's class who did not take his face out of a Gemara. He's like holding it, it was sixth grade. Right, that same fifth grade, and now they're in sixth grade. He's there, and this guy's like this. He walks into the van, he's bumping into everything, he somehow made it to a seat safely. But you know how Lahavdil, not you guys, but some guys are looking at their iPhones that way all the time, right? So back then, for this kid, it was this Gemara. So I'm like, actually thinking he's not normal, to tell you the truth. I said to my son, I go, has he got social issues? Like, what's with this guy? He goes, no. He goes, Abba, don't mess with this guy. I go, what are you talking about? He said, trust me. So I lean over to see what's he learning. So he's learning Perek HaZahav. Anyone ever see that parak? Right, so there's Ezur Neshach. That's a very serious parak in Bava Metzia we might have come across recently, those learning Kiddushin. And the only parak considered more difficult than Ezur Neshach is Perek HaZahav. It's the one, Rav Yaakovson, anyone heard of Rav Yaakovson from Chalviv? Is famous for his bar mitzvah. One of his claims to fame is that he gave the shakar d'tayr, Perek HaZahav, Baal Peh. Well, at his bar mitzvah, right? So here's this kid, who I call the next Rebbe Chida Eger, doing this, and like, he won't stop. And I'm like, wow, this is unbelievable. Okay. That was that day. And that was what that kid was like, and he was unbelievable. We go back, that was our pilot trip, we go back to America, and back and forth a couple of times to Israel for a year and back again. About 6 years later, we finally come back to Eretz Yisrael. Right? I won't go into the details of all that. But we're back here in Eretz Yisrael, and I run into this kid where I was walking. Anyone been to Ramat Beit Shemesh lately? So there's a park called the Ayalon Park. And I'm there Friday night. It must have been 12, 1 in the morning. And I'm walking through the park, and I see this, like, every now and then, unfortunately, you see this little chavra, less than savory characters. And who's there? Who's there in this group? Little Rebbe Akiva Eger. And I'm like, absolutely in shock beyond imagine. I imagine by now he's like, you know, being groomed to be the next Gadol HaDor, this guy. Instead, he's drunk. You know, can you believe that some of these guys are drinking in the park? You might not believe it, but it's actually true. And here he is with them. And I'm like crying. Like, what? How could this be? So I go to my son, who still was in contact with the chevra over there, and I go, you know, this is purely tachlis, but what happened? So he goes to me, he went off the derech. I go, what a brilliant answer, thank you. He went off the derech. I go, what happened? Why did he go off the derech? Tell me, go off the derech. So he says, like that. He didn't know. So now, I'm really, I admit, I was curious. You know, that's not a good need, though. I was just curious. But I really wanted to know, because I said, what am I bringing my kids into? Is this what's going to be? Like, what went wrong here? Why is it? And then I was hearing other stories of similar experiences. Kids that had been unbelievable, and then they're suddenly like that. And I go, what's going on? So I'll never forget, when I found out the answer, I found out from the kid's father. And the kid's father is also major Talmud Chacham. And we were speaking, not about that, I would never have the audacity to ask him, hey, how'd your kid go off the dam, right? What'd you do wrong? But we were schmoozing, and he's asking me, and he starts talking about my kids. And he said, oh, you know, that kid, you know, wow, he's doing really well, you know, what's your secret, or something like that. And I said, no secret, whatever, I don't know. And then he says, yeah, we had a lot of problems with ours, but he's doing great now. So, Baruch Hashem, this had been at a time of recovery for him. So now I had the audacity, and I needed to know. I wanted to know what does this, what kind of mistakes can a parent make? So I said to him, what happened? So he told me, unbelievable. This is the first time I heard this Avos Deraganasa. He said, we used to have this minna at the table. He said, there was a period of time, right when he was around 12, 13 years old, when this kid, Rabbi Kiva Eger Jr., was wanting to schmooze with his father. He wanted to schmooze with him. He wanted to just talk. And all the father would do would be to respond with, let's learn. Let's just learn. No time for talk. Let's learn. And one time the kid said, come on, Abba, all you want to do is learn, can't we just talk? And the father was going to teach the father, big Talmud Chacham, he probably knew Abbas the Rabinasim, all of it or something. He's going to teach the kid a lesson, because they had this nice Shabbos minhag. Don't get the wrong message, this is a great minhag, what I'm about to tell you, that they used to do at their Shabbos table, is they used to learn Pirkei Avos, and then everyone give a pshat, and see who comes the closest to Abbas the Rabinasim, because Abbas the Rabinasim is the pshat in the Pirkei Avos. So they would do the Pirkei Avos, it's a beautiful idea. If it didn't have the negative visceral reaction in me from what happened there, I would do it. Every time I'm about to start to do this minhag, I get this effect by the story that I'm about to tell you. But it is a good minhag. So maybe I'm ruining for you by telling you the story, but not really. It had a happy ending. The kid's great now. The kid's, serious Tom Chacham now, so it had a happy ending. But what went wrong was this Avos Deraganasa. What do I mean? So they had this Pirkei, he's going to teach, the guy's a Talmud Chacham, he's going to teach his kid, brilliantly, quote unquote, that he's right and he's wrong. We learn Torah, we don't talk. What's his proof? Pirkei Avos. It says, Rabbi Dosef, Ben Hirkin Somer, Shema Shel Shachris, V'yayin Shel Tzoharayim, V'sichas Yehodim, V'yeshivas Batei Knesiyos Shel Amei Haaretz, Motzina Sa'adam Minah. What does the Pirkei Avos say? It says, Rabbi Dosa says, the following things will destroy your neshama. What's going to destroy your neshama? Number one, you're sleeping late, right? You sleep right through shachris. Two, drinking in the afternoon. Three, sichas yeladim. What's that? My pshat always was, before I got introduced to this, I was the Renasan, was talking silly. That's what I thought it meant. Never did I have a habamina, right? He was his agenda. My habamina was it meant talking like a silly, immature person. That's sichas yeladim. Or talking about silly topics. Right? That much. Yeshivas batei knesios shel amei haaretz. When it comes to my mind is, what's the name of that sports bar in Tina again?
Oh, no,
yeah, that's what comes to my mind, whatever. sorry. Hanging out in places like that, right? All those things are going to kill you, neshama. You're going to leave the olam. So, he says to the table, "Nu, what pshat sichos yeladim?" So, one of the smarter kids said what I just said. Like, they all had different pshatim. He says, "Let me tell you what it means." And he reads Avos Deraganasa, "Sichas yeladim ketzad melamed lo yiskaven adam b'shash yirushon beveso lasuach im yishto im bana v'im bnosav shekol zman she'adam yoshev besoch beso v'shona mesiach im bana v'bnei beso nimtza batal min haTorah." He said, "I proved it to you." And he looks right at this kid, little Rabbi Kiveger, and he says, "You see, I proved it to you. For me to sit there and schmooze with you, it's bittul Torah. It's the biggest mistake in the world. Right? Right here, and I was Rabbi Nelson." So you know what the kid's reaction was? "That's absurd." That's the kid's reaction. He said, "That's stupid." And if that's stupid, the rest of it's stupid. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to participate in Shema Shel Shachris, Yayin Shel Tzoharayim, and everything it said in the Pirkei Avos, not to do, this guy did, and he became what he became. And I'm not making this up. And can you blame him? So, Baruch Hashem, the father, wised up, changed his policy, and saved himself, because I was more worried about the father's neshama after hearing this story than the kid's neshama, to tell you the truth. Sooner or later, the kid was going to come around. But the father was stupid, and I was very happy that he admitted that, because he knew it. He knew that was like a stupid mistake. Question is, though, and what we're going to talk about the rest of our limited time here, so what's going on with that, Mr. Rebbe Nelson? How do we fix this pshat up, and what does it have to do with Sam's innocent question? Right? So that's what we're going to work on. I think we have a pshat. And it's going to give us an insight into really how we should very productively spend our time, right? In terms of these pockets of time for Torah. And what should be our mindset when it comes to, am I wasting time? Am I learning enough Torah? Am I learning Torah right? Am I learning Torah in the right way? And am I learning enough Torah? That's really the agenda. So there's an incredible, incredible Tosfos that comes out of a stira, pretty famous. Everybody should have been exposed to these Gemaras. Some of you were here for Sanhedrin, right? So all of you, I know, must have encountered following stira. Right? Anyone who was in my shir did. Here it goes. Famous Gemara in Brachos, right? This Gemara says, you know, both of these, they're called the death Gemaras. That's what I call them. I call these the death Gemaras. The death Gemaras are supposed to inspire us, right? Get us inspired to be better people. Why? Because it's like what's waiting at the end, right? Be aware, these two Gemaras are telling me, that there's a din b'cheshbon one day that you're going to be accountable for. And you're going to be asked certain questions. And you know, you want to be able to answer them well. So that's the ultimate agenda of these kind of Gemaras, and for good reason. You know, it's nice to have that kind of incentive. I remember there is a Rebbe, his name is Rav Yitzchak Adler. He wrote a sefer called Londos. Anyone ever hear of that sefer? It's not so popular. Back in the day, it was a very popular sefer. He explains what Londos is. And goes through all the Londos and Chas. He was actually with Rosenzweig's Chavrusa for 10 years. They learned Chas together in the fourth or fifth floor, whatever the quiet floor in the YU library is. It was one of those floors where nothing happened. So they had a Chavrusa there for like 8-10 years. I don't remember exactly how, when they went through Chas. So I remember I went sat in a shir of his, and he was pointing out these death gemaras, and he said, it means that you should live your life like you have a machine gun against your head all the time to do the right thing. So I didn't think that was great muster for me, but whatever. But that's the idea. So this one says the following. Amar Rabba, b'shah shemachlisim adam ledin, omrim lo, nasata v'nasata v'amuna. Means what? What does that mean? What's the first question they're going to ask you up there?
You're in business.
Yeah, well, right. Were you honest in business, or were you? Did you behave properly in business? Which means in whatever you did, most of the day. Second question, were you koveya itim l'Torah? Third question is, were you osek b'pir yerubia? Fourth, sipita l'Yeshua. Fifth, pilpalta b'chochma hevanta davra mitoch davra. What is that referring to? Marbian. Marbian, the only way to learn, right? Joe, no? The only way to learn? Marbian? 100%. So, then what was koveya itim l'Torah? What was that? If this is learning, b'ian, what's koveya itim l'Torah mean? We have to narrow that down. But what's the striking thing about this list? Especially when you get to Sanhedrin. Somebody tell me, what's the stira? Sanhedrin, it says, Amar Rav Amnuna, Ein Tchilas Dino Shel Adam Nidon Ela Al Divrei Torah. What's the obvious stira?
Why is
the Shalom and Rahmanim ask?
Why is the order different?
Yeah. According to Shabbos, it's how did you behave in your business or whatever you do most of the day? Your working day. And number two is where you convey to the Torah. And Sanhedrin says, no. The Tchilas Adin is Torah. So everyone jumps into this, right? So the easy way out is what the Marsha tells. So you have the Marsha over there. You probably can't read it. It's too tiny. Well, you're young. You guys can read it. But the Marsha takes the... What's the easy way out of this? Anyone know? What's an easy answer?
All those things are Torah. Behaving well is
I didn't say seminary. I said, what's the easy answer?
It's too easy.
Yeah.
No, you see, you're right.
But the Marsha says it's two different people, right? Right? This is like something we talked about a few weeks ago, which is there's some people whose nature and destiny are to be sitting and learning all day, and there are some people who are not. So the Gemara in Shabbos is going about that person who's not. And the right thing for him to have done was to be honest in business or whatever he's doing all day. And number two, make sure you're also covering a little time for learning. He says, in the Gemara in Sanhedrin is talking about a guy whose propensity and nature and inner ability is to learn all day. So that guy has a responsibility. That's the way the Marshal does it. Tosfos, however, gives a very different answer. He gives two answers. The first answer is like the Marsha, very similar. But the second answer is the one I want to focus on. Listen to this. Somebody tell me pshat in this. And if it's the seminary answer, then so be it. But what does he say? He says, Inami, sholim lo tchila amasa umatan be'amuna, yikomakom yikabel dino tchila al divrei tov. What does that mean?
What's Tosis? What's the lumpness of that answer? Two people? Clearly not. One person, and everybody gets the Seder of questions in Shabbos. Nevertheless, it's no stira that Tfilas Dino is al Torah. So what does that mean?
I mean, you can just say that asking and getting din are two different things, no? Being asked about and getting judged to court.
Yeah, you could say that. That's not bad. That's probably Pashup Shah, right? Pashup Shah would be, you get asked, so, no, how'd you do in business? And then you get asked, and,
well, why are we asking these questions? Is God just schmoozing?
Yeah, I don't know.
Hey, how you doing? I've been waiting for you for 120 years. It's about time you got up here. Right, Kibyach Hashem says that to you, and so Nu, what was it like on Earth? What were you doing? It's not like that. We're asking because it's confrontation time.
Yeah.
In other words, what happens if you want to know the Gemara Tanis of all the death Gemaras? The Tanis Gemara is the one that scares me the most because in Tanis it says there's going to be like a videotape, and this is how it works. You're up there, and Hashem plays the videotape, right? And your wife gets to watch. That's what she always throws in, but. And all the things you did, you need to account for. So it's kind of like that setting. These questions are, look what you did in business, look what you did that day at work, look what you did, and then, okay, now let's talk about your learning. And yet, Chilas Dino's Al Torah seems to conflict with that. But Tosa says, no, it's not, you're just not getting the Pshat right. So let's explore the Pshat right. What's the Pshat right we can get out of Rashi on this Pirkei Avos, another Pirkei Avos? It says the Pirkei Avos, very famous statement. Shamay Omer, Ase Torascha Kiva. Right? Make your Torah Keva. What does it mean, make your Torah Keva? What does it mean? So, let's say you're up in Shamay. Who want to volunteer? A volunteer from the audience? Any volunteers? Achamei Vesrin. You're up there. And Hashem says to you, Ofek, you Kofeya Itim the Torah. What are you going to say?
Okay,
sorry. I don't care what you learned, Ofeg. Were you Kovea eating the Torah? He said, yes. Is he right?
No.
Sorry. You'll see. At least according to Rashi. Oh, that's the point. How could it be? What am I, crazy? Hashem asked us, were we Kovea eating the Torah? We're going to say, no, and that's the right answer? How could that be? So I'm going to show you the Rashi says. As a foil, we're going to learn the Rambam. The Rambam is very happy with you.
Sorry, Rambam.
Yeah, the Rambam's good. You're good by the Rambam. Does it even matter what Hashem said? No. All right, give it. What happened? The Rambam, what's the Rambam's shot on this? The Rambam says something that's a very important yisod. I want to share something Rav Aaron Lichtenstein says about it. He says that it means, I say Talmud Torah Hashorish V'Iker V'Kol Shar Askecha Nimshachem Acharav. It means that you should make Torah primary, right? That's what really it is. I say Torah Keva means not anything about the quantity of learning you're going to do. It's the prioritizing of learning and Torah. That's what you should do. It should be the most important thing. And the way on the next page, the Seer of Aaron, I'm going to paraphrase so we can get moving here a little more. Instead of reading it, I read it, I need to translate what I'm saying, right?
in English, doesn't matter, but what he means is the following. He says two beautiful ideas. He says, number one, you know, most of us need to work for a living. So you're going to work all day, yeah, right? And you're going to come home. Now what are you going to do? You have your 9-to-5 job, it's 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, you're home. You're going to sit down, what are you going to do? So, most of us will have supper. Great. Okay, you're 8. Now what are you going to do? So you have a choice. You can watch TV, right? You can do something like that, or you could learn. Are you going to learn now? Okay, so even if you spend 90% of your day working, but only 10% of your day learning, the fact that you prioritized it when you were able to, you were kovei itim as great as anybody sitting in yeshiva, believe it or not. That's the point Ravina wants to make. Then he makes the second point. The second point is that, you know, a person could choose various professions and various outlets, and if they're going to pick money over time and learning, that's a mistake. It's not the same as picking some other avoda, right? You can pick another avoda, avodas Hashem, but if you're motivated by just making a lot of money, that shows a very poor prioritizing. All right, that's the Rambam. That's very classic. Rashi says something different. Rashi is the one I want to focus on. Rashi says the following. Rashi says, Ofe, say no. When Hashem asks you, he says no. Because look what Rashi says. I say to Rashi Kiva, Shelo tehen kovea itim l'torah. Right? Am I making that up? He's saying it right over there. Shelo tehen kovea itim l'torah in the kol hayom tehasena alecha keva. What's pshat? Oh, yeah. What does he really mean? Not what I'm making it look like he means. What does it mean?
All day.
He says, yeah, don't just set aside time for Torah. You're going to say to Hashem, we'll give you 240, right? Achar matayim v'arba'im shana. You're going to say, Hashem, no, I wasn't kovei itim l'Torah. I was kulo Torah. I wasn't just setting aside and like saying, all right, moment X, 15 minutes here, X is Torah. Kol hayom is Torah. So what is this, an advocate for just sitting in the basement all day? Is that what he means? No. I don't think so. I don't think so. What he means is going to be illustrated and ultimately give us a much better pshat, you'll see, in Avos D'Rabbi Nosson. That's really my goal. Better to understand Sichas Yod in a much different way. But we've got to work it through. So, number one, what's pshat? It's like sort of like the seminary answer, right? Which is, when he says, don't be kovet in the Torah, but kol hayom kulos Torah, what's the greatest example? The famous Tosfos and Brachos of the fact that Kol HaYom is Torah, right? We talked about this, and you must have heard this if you didn't hear it from me, from somebody, that, you know, Brichas, the Bracha by a Sukkah, you have to keep making because there's a Hefset, but Brichas the Torah, there's no Hefset. Why not? Because Ma'olam lo miyayish daitu minenu. All day is Torah. You're involved in Torah, the seminary thing, right? I think that's what you meant, right? This, that it's not just that you're going to learn Torah, but you're going to be koveya that everything you do reflects your knowledge of Torah. So, that's really nice. Now, the question is, how do we achieve that level? Do we really do that? How do I do it? So, if you go to page 4, Avos D'Rabbi Nosson comes in again. And he gives the ultimate pshat. Was Rashi's pshat the right pshat? Was the Rambam pshat? So, at least the Gaon who wrote Rabbi Nosson, who wrote Avos D'Rabbi Nosson, he says, I say to Rascha Kiva, Ketzad, Melamed im Shama Adam Davar mi Pichacha mi Beis HaMidras, Al Yase Oso Arai, El Yase Oto Keva. What does that mean? It means that more importantly than quantifying your learning, much more importantly than like adding up the hours and having a 3,000 hour blitz or whatever that thing was for Hanukkah, much more importantly than that, in my opinion, and I'm not downplaying the greatness of that achievement of that blitz, or whatever we called it, what we did here recently in the yeshiva, it's far more important to take Torah and not have it be arai, but to have it be kept. And what does that mean? What's he getting at? So Rav Aaron, again, in a different article, really hits it home. And he says the following. This time I'm going to read it. He quotes this Avos D'Rabbi Nosson, and he says, what does this mean? He says, there are certain facets of our experience that we regard as being peripheral and temporal. We lose no sleep over the fact that they are nothing more than that. They may be pleasant at the time, but you do not expect them to become a permanent aspect of your being. Does a person make any effort to remember what he reads in the newspaper? When you read it, you think it's important to know what's going on in the world. But unless you're a professional historian or an archivist, you do not really care whether you remember what happened 10 years ago. Right? It's interesting for the moment. But you don't need to make it part of you. You don't need it to transform you as a human being. It's just a very nice thing to know, or an important thing to know. But there are things to which a person is committed to the degree that he wants them to be part of him. When he has that kind of experience, he wants it to be internalized, not to remain ephemeral, not to be temporary. But asei teras b'keva means that it become ingrained, absorbed, a part of you. It is a different kind of exposure and experience. There is a certain intensity and seriousness. If you want something to remain with you, you immerse yourself in it. And that's really what Torah is supposed to be. What's the guiding agenda of Torah is to transform you, to make you different, to make you changed. Every time you learn, you should have this as your ultimate goal. If you do, it changes the experience of learning. Not only do you become more serious about your learning, but you will not be satisfied unless you found something there that actually does that. No more superficial learning. If you learn something, you know, all the great ideas about how just, you know, I once had this Rav Nachman Breslov guy come to my door trying to sell me a sefer of Rav Nachman Shita on Talmud Torah. Now, I don't want to offend anyone if you're a Breslover. Any Breslovers here? But sorry, I'm sorry to say this. But he wanted me to know that the goal should be to learn Shas. That's the goal. Shas. I go, what do you mean, like diving through it? You know, I took him on. I said, well, what do you mean that's the goal? You want me to tell my kids that's what they should be doing? So he said, yeah, because every word's holy, and the more you say it, you know, great things are happening. Okay, maybe. I'm not going to, again, I'm humble when it comes to the mystical. But no, it's not, I don't think so. I don't think that's the gist of the Nigla. The Torah on Nigla tells me that Talmud Torah is successful and meaningful if and only if it transforms you. You know, as a start, you got to learn how to do it. But as an ultimate satisfying goal, it's to make something happen to you. And that's asei teras b'keva. So this explains beautifully something that has always was bothering me. There is, who here has made a seal? Everybody. All of you. So, the first seal I made, I just want to comment on it. The first seal I made, at first, I felt really good about it. Now, I don't want to kill anybody's experiences with their siyumin. But, you know, it was on a Megillah. Okay, I said it. On Masechta, first siyumin I ever made. It was on that Masechta. I won't forget. It was very exciting for me. And its purpose, in retrospect, was to inspire me and excite me about learning on that level. But I knew that I didn't really get transformed by that experience. Right? It was an impetus. It was like an excitement. And it meant something. I meant, oh, I could do it, right? But in terms of transforming me, it did. So I remember, when did this hit me? When did it occur to me? Like, I guess I was oversensitive. Maybe I'm too seminary in personality. But when I was reading the Siyam, listen to the words. It comes from Gemara Brachos. Listen to these words. And you're going to see something that just hit me when I read this. I was standing up there, having finished that myself, and I read, Mode ani lefanech Hashem alokai she samte chelki miyoshvei beis hamedrash velo samte chelki miyoshvei kronos. She ani mashkim vehem mashkimim. Ani mashkim ledivrei Torah vehem mashkimim ledvarim b'teil. Ani amel vehem amelim. Ani amel mekabel schar vehem amelim ve'ina mekabel schar. Ani ratz vehem ratzim ani ratz v'chayir olam haba vehem ratzim levar shah. So as I was reading that, and I was saying, well, do I have a right to say that? You know, okay, I finished Megillah. Does that give me a right to talk this way? You know, and put down half the guys that were at that Siyum because they weren't doing a Siyum on Masechta Megillah? Is that the point of this? Is that the message of this little thing that we say when we say Siyum? Absolutely not. So what is it? What is it that is being imparted there? What are we trying to do? Make people feel bad? By at a siyum? You know, like, I'm great, I did this Masechta, and I'm a Yoshvei Beis HaMedrash, and you guys are the Yoshvei Kronos. By the way, what's Yoshvei Kronos? What are those? does that mean? What are they?
Bums.
Bums.
Okay. Well, how
instead of dogs.
Well, what does it literally mean?
So it's the
like, right, they're like at the corner or something. Like they're the loafers. They're like you know, bums on the corner. Right? Like in the Beis Medrash. So here, Rav Aaron also had a beautiful insight into telling me that. That's not shot in those words. He says, the Gemara speaks of Yoshe Beis HaMedrash and Yoshe Kronos, those who dwell in the Beis HaMedrash and those who dwell at the street corners. What is a Yoshe Kronos really? Someone who hangs around the candy store, the pub, or whatever the current cool may be. What's the name of that place again? He is defined by merely hanging around, by being a loafer. But what's the Yesod? It's possible for a person to be seated in the Beis Medrash, and he's a Yoshev Karen, and it's possible for a person who's at the store, and he's a Yoshev Beis Medrash. What a geschmack of pshat. You get that pshat? You know what he's saying? He's saying the point of this is that if a person really learned properly that he's making a seal, he was transformed. He was experiencing Talmud Torah in great length and depth, and understood something from it that made him a Yoshve Beis HaMedrash, which is not a location. It's a mindset. It's a being. It's an essence. And the person who's the Yoshve Kronos are also not talking about people that literally are stand. What's the name of the place again? That place. Right? It's not the place. It's not a guy who goes to that sports bar, right? You heard it here. Could be a Yoshve Beis HaMedrash. Let's say the guy's on the basketball court. Can you be a Yoshe Beis HaMedrash on the basketball court? 100%. I'll give you an example. He plays D. He just doesn't shoot. He plays D. That's a Yoshe Beis HaMedrash. Now, does that sound like an absurd analogy? You know where I got it from? The first time I heard this Dvar Torah from Rav Aaron Wolfenstein. He said it. I feel really much better now. First of all, he was a good ball player in his day. 6'4". Yes, it's true. But he spoke in much stronger language. When he told over this analogy of the guy playing ball, so he said, the guy playing ball could be a Yoshe Beis HaMedrash. Right? Why? Because he's not cursing, he's not saying the bullpen, he's not losing his temper, he's playing like a mensch, and he plays D. And a guy, I couldn't believe he said, a guy who doesn't play D, he's a manuvel. Remember that the next time you're playing with some guy that's not playing D. You manuvel, right? Because if you're a transformed person, if you're a Yoshe Beis HaMedrash, the Torah is in you, not in a seminary sense, in a real sense. It makes you a different person. For God's sake, you play D. But obviously, that's just a trivial example of everything else in your life. Everything, every moment of your life, you're standing at the train. I'll never forget the time my wife reminded me of this Dvar Torah. That's one of my favorite Dvar Torahs. I've said it to my kids many times, right? So my wife knows it and loves to throw it in my face when I deserve it. So when did I deserve it? Roadway rage. You know, I'm one of those people that's subject to road rage. I admit it, right? I'm working on it. It's a me that I'm working on. But my wife loves to say, Manolo, right? This is worse than not playing D. She's right. If I was imbibing and changed and transformed by the Torah, so out on the road, when the nutty American or Israeli guy is doing whatever he's doing, I would just take it. So what? Just think about it. That's what I say to myself. Just think this through like you're a logical person. Just think. Who cares that this one guy is getting ahead of you? Big deal. Right? That's a transformed person. I mean, think about B'nai Torah. Who are B'nai Torah? Why are B'nai Torah such great role models? They're transformed people. And that's what the agenda of Torah is. Now, this brings me to the real pshat in Avos Torah B'Nasim, which is what we're going to end with. Right? And you realize why this is. The reason I did this in response to your question was because I wanted to just emphasize the practical, but then don't miss the forest through the trees. The quantity, you know, the fact that you're spending every moment learning is fantastic and essential. But if you miss this yesod, I don't care if you're learning 99% of the day. It doesn't mean a thing. Honestly. I'm not a president. I think that's nonsense. That's my sheep, though. To think that there's some magic just saying words of Torah and that's enough is it silly? It's got to make something happen in you. Which is why, ultimately, Ian is so necessary. I hate to say it over and over again. Because most of the time, you're not going to get the messages without working hard to see what's going on. You know, you learn Kaddish B'milva, right? So, there's a lot of alumnus involved in the Kaddish B'milva. That's what they're learning in Yeshiva. That's why I'm saying that particular example. So, there's all these shittos and why it works or it doesn't work. My Kaddish B'milva doesn't work, but Kaddish B'ana tells me what a Kinyan Kesef is. And you end up learning the Ran, the Ritva, and the Rif all have this basic understanding of it, where being Kone Isha is no different than being Kone Asada. Okay, I'm not moved yet. I'm not changed. Then I get to the Rambam and Rashi, and I say, whoa, Rambam and Rashi is saying something different. They think, as the Avnei Miluin points out, that Kone Sada is not the same thing as being Kone Isha. It's a qualitatively different event. It's much more significant to be Kone Isha. Her Hakpada matters. What she's feeling at this moment matters. And then it opens up the agenda of the Torah. And you start to see meaning, and you change. I treat my wife much differently now that I learned the Rambam and Rashi. I'm just kidding. I always treated her right. But you get the idea. So it comes to Abbas Rabbi Nosson. What is with that crazy pshat? Is really Pirkei Avos telling me not to talk to my wife and not to talk to my kids? Could it be? So who's a good medayik here? Who can be? I want one of you to do this because otherwise my pshat will be. This is my personal pshat in Abbas Rabbi Nosson. I have a pshat, right? Now, unfortunately, I didn't see this anywhere. That would have made me feel better, but if one of you say it, I'll feel just as good. Abbas the Rabbi Nosson. Before we do it, I'll give you a hint to it. Okay, before we do it. You got a shot?
I'm just thinking the shot should...
Wait. First let me give you the hint. Because then you really bring it up. Alright? I think you got it. I can tell by those. There's this one last Mar Malkum from Rav Shimon Schwab. He has the following. It says in Mishle, Chacham Yivchor B'mitzvos. Right? A Chacham picks mitzvos. Right? Familiar to you? So, the Gemara in Sota says about that. What's that talking about? It's talking about Moshe. What did Moshe do? I think I told this at that other thing also. When Bnei Yisrael were leaving Mitzrayim, so Moshe chose to take care of Atzmos Yosef, where everyone else was going for the gold and the silver. Right? So here we see Chacham Yivchor Mitzvos. What's the message? Well, they're going for the money, he's going for the mitzvah. Is that the message? Nah, that's not the message. That's like a little silly, right? No. Forget about the money, go for Olam Haba. Remember that. Like, you know, we don't need that. We know that, right? The message was much more subtle. The message was like this. When they were going for the silver and the gold, that also was a mitzvah. Right? That was a mitzvah. And going for Atzmos Yosef was a mitzvah. Why did Moshe do that so great? Why was he a chacham? He chose the right mitzvah. Everybody, and a few weeks ago I emphasized that everybody's going to know themselves and choose the right thing. There's another pshat. The pshat is that there's a time for certain mitzvahs and there's another time for other mitzvahs. And that's the key to understanding Abbas the Rabbi Nosson, right? Is that your pshat?
I was just thinking the words it says, is that when Tommy's learning? Like,
excellent. You got it. You got it. That's the diuk. What does he say? If you read it really carefully, he says like this. Sichas yiladim keitzad. What does it mean, don't talk to your children? What does that mean? That sichas yiladim, the talking to your children, and Rashi up here says sichas yiladim means talking to your children, talking to your family. Could it really be true that Chazal is telling us to minimize talking to your children, just learn Torah? Like, is that really what it's telling you? If that's what it's telling me, I don't blame that kid for going off the derech. But I don't really think that's pshat. It's melamed shliskaven adam b'shashu who shone the vesa. What's he doing? What's shonen? Learning. Where's he learning? In his house. Lasuch and Ishto in Banav in Nosov, because Mancha Adam Yoshe Bisoch Beso Beshone and Messiah in Banav, Nimtza Batel in a Torah. That's the real pshat. The real pshat is there's a time for the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, and there's a time for the mitzvah of speaking to your family, and schmoozing with your son, and talking to him, and interacting with him properly. If you mess up, and in the time when you're supposed to be b'beischa, talking to your children and spending time with your family and enriching their lives the way a father should, and you learn, That is going to be motzi adam in ha'olam. That's a mistake. And, of course, the Torah will be batal. Why will the Torah be batal? Because obviously you were not transformed, because you're doing a stupid thing. And the pshat of Abbas Rabbi Nosson is almost diametrically opposite to the way that father was using it in the son. The real pshat is that when it comes to Talmud Torah, which should be transforming you and making you into a different person, and that's what it means to have kvias of Torah, is that in everything you do it through the prism of Torah. It means that when you're in your house and with your family, the prism of Torah directs you to be involved with them, to speak to them, not to be learning. It's the emphasis is on the shoneh beveso that was the mistake. If you learn under those conditions when you're not supposed to, that's bittul Torah, that's bittul the kfias of Torah within you, because the Torah within you tells you your kid wants to talk to you, he's having a problem. You make a mistake if you say to him, I chapped on you, right? It says, Sifus Yilagdim is bittul Torah. That's nonsense. That's not at all the message. The message is that there's an ace in the Torah. And the ace Batama Torah is in the base medrash. And when you have the 15 minutes before Mincha, and between Mincha Marib, whatever that time is, those are good times to learn. But learning means transformation, and transformation means that the rest of your day, Me'olam lo mi'ayish daitu mimeno, means you're directing all your actions and behavior kederech, that Torah that you learned properly is directing. In your house, when it comes time for your families, you really appreciate this, you're meant to be with them and do things with them, and don't make the erroneous assumption that it's bitul Torah for you to do that. That would be one of the most egregious errors a person can make. I almost made that mistake myself. There was a time in my life when I really felt I was behind in Torah. I wanted to catch up. There was tremendous pressure on me. And I started learning at home exactly like this. And it was hurting my kids. It was hurting our relationship. It was hurting everything. Thank God I caught it. Because you can fool yourself and rationalize yourself into that you're doing a good thing and you're doing a bad thing. Halavai, we should all have plenty of time for both. And everybody here should be zochet to learn tremendous amounts of Torah every moment they can, imbibe it, transform them, and then use it to operate in everything else you're going to do. Amen.